Welcome to Equisport Radio, your VIP pass to the world of horse racing.
Down the stretch they come, Cat Thief digging in at the rail.
Amanda Roxborough and Les Salzman take you inside the gate, behind the scenes, to the heart of horse racing. Equisport Radio. Get tied on.
Well, hello and welcome to Equisport Radio. I'm Amanda Roxborough.
And I'm Les Salzman.
And we are so excited to kick off our premiere show. And we are live here at Gulfstream Park and Casino in Hallandale, Florida. It's been a fabulous day here. And we're very excited to spread our love for the sport of horse racing.
Amanda, you're right. It's a thrill to be here at Gulfstream Park on a chilly afternoon. Now, for you folks up north, it's a balmy 70, but for us, it's pretty chilly.
But that's okay. We had a great day. There was no rain. We did hear a little complaints about the weather, but then you remind them, you know, you just came from the north, so just suck it up and enjoy the races. And we did. We had a lot of fun here today. A very big crowd for a Saturday.
Yep. The Gulfstream continues to draw the crowds, and some excellent racing this afternoon. A couple of good races. The stake was a big race.
It was. It was a nice grass race, and I'll tell you, the grass looks absolutely fabulous here.
Yeah, they've kept it in pretty good shape for this early in the meet. Normally, it dries out a little bit, but the surface seems pretty good for right now.
And Kenny McPeak had a huge day here. He won three races today, including the stake.
And Kenny seems like he's come out firing right from the start this year.
Yeah, he's always dangerous. You know, you can never count Kenny out.
That's true, and a lot of times, a lot of the handicappers overlook a lot of these horses.
You think so?
Yeah, I think a lot of the guys, I think there's a preference for some of the other guys here at Gulfstream, so they overlook Kenny, but I, as a horseman, I've got a lot of respect for him.
Well, talking about horsemen, Les, I think that's one thing we want to make very clear to everybody, our listeners and horse racing fans, and just horse lovers in general. One of the main motivations for me personally, anyway, is to give back to the sport of racing and to really try to help promote it. It's more than a job. It has been a lifestyle for myself and for you, Les.
It has. You know, I've been in it for 30 years, and Matt is much younger, so she's been in it for a little less time.
27 and a half.
But, you know, we're fortunate to have spent probably more time over and under horses than any pair of radio hosts.
That's right. I got my start very early from the show days and the hunting. I was always told I was going way too fast. So a very good friend said to me, you have got to go to the racetrack. And I went when I was 17, and that was it for me. I was hooked and started galloping the next year and rode races up in Canada at Woodbine. So it's been a lifestyle and a passion that I am absolutely very fortunate.
My start was a little less traditional. I grew up in New York, and at the age of two, my grandfather put me on a horse, and I've been riding ever since, and had the good fortune to train horses and do a number of different things over the years within the horse industry. And as Amanda said, it's a lifestyle, and we want to get some of that across to you as we broadcast over the next weeks. And we'll be here at Gulfstream throughout this meet and then throughout the country as we go forward.
What we're really hoping to do is to bring the racing stars, the traditional stars, obviously the jockeys, the trainers, the people that everyone gets to see when the media does focus on horse racing. But it's also the human interest stories, the people behind the scenes. It's the passion, the dedication, that it's the untold story all the time in our industry. And for me, I believe that if we can really get these stories out, we can maybe attract a broader audience of people that, you know, sometimes they think about gambling only, or, you know, unfortunately you have a horse has an accident on a major day and that's all they think about racing. And for me, it's not. It's you know, people have to give their blood, sweat, and tears, and it's the love of the horse. And that's what we want to try to share with everybody.
It's true, Amanda. Yeah, we're going to be bringing stories to you that, of course, there's the mainstream stuff, and in a few minutes you're going to hear from Mike Smith. But also we're going to be talking to the folks that are working in the stalls every day, the guys that are making a few hundred bucks a week, but they're there because they love their horses, the exercise riders that have broken bones, and they continue every morning 7 days a week to get on horses. So that's where our focus is. We're going to be a little bit different, I hope, than most radio shows, and give you some real insight.
Well, absolutely, Les, and I'm very excited because I do, you know, we both have a lot of war stories as well. But let's just get started a little bit with, of course, last week was the Oscars of our racing. We had the Eclipse Awards here in Miami Beach at the Fountain Blue Hotel. And today's guests are a lot of those people that were very fortunate to not only be there but accept awards. We had a great lineup on our first show. We're going to be talking, as Les said, to Mike Smith about the queen of the ball at the Eclipse, Zenyatta. It was absolutely a wonderful thing for horsemen and racing fans alike when she was named Horse of the Year. And then from the pageantry of the sport to the pit of it, we're going to have daily racing form columnist and handicapping guru Mike Welsh is going to join us and give us the inside scoop here at Gulfstream. Of course, Phil Gleaves and Brad Bolin, a couple of surprise guests. And we're also going to kick off with the Eclipse-winning and record-breaking sprinter drama, his trainer, David Fox. So actually, he looked pretty good in his tux the other night, I thought. So anyway, let's take a little break, and we're going to be right back. So stay tuned at Equisport Radio, and we will have David Fox on the other side of the break.
Come along for the ride to Gulfstream Park, your ultimate entertainment destination. See the action unfold before your eyes as you meet tomorrow's Triple Crown contenders right here. Live thoroughbred racing is back at Gulfstream Park. Champion horses and Hall of Fame trainers and jockeys return to celebrate the 60th anniversary of the $1 million Florida Derby. Every Wednesday through Sunday, see the best horses in the world. Prepare for the January 29th Sunshine Millions and the January 30th Holy Bull. Daily post time is 12:55. It's all here only at Gulfstream Park.
Hello, this is Wesley Snipes, and when I want to get tuned in, tuned up, and not tuned out, I listen to Dr. Fred Bell, Health and Sciences Show on BBSRadio.com. Mary had a little lamb, Mary had a little lamb, and went off to the Pleiades. Woo!
Hey, this is Rick Holden, and you're listening to BBSRadio.com, just the best darn internet radio network there ever was or ever will be. And you can get my song, Killing Me, on my album, Holding Out, at RickHolden.com for less than the price of 2 gallons of gasoline. Wait a minute, I just checked. Make that 1 gallon. Sorry about that. Girl, you're killing me, but what a way to go.
And now, back to Equisport Radio with your hosts, Amanda Roxborough and Les Salzman.
We're back, and Amanda's dancing to the music here. Amanda, what do we have going on this segment?
Well, this segment, we are going to talk to David Fox, the trainer of Big Drama, who was the winner, the sprint male winner at the Eclipse Awards the other night. And I must say, David, you looked pretty smashing in your tux.
And he gave my favorite speech. David, that speech was great.
I'm sorry?
Your speech on Monday was excellent. That was my favorite acceptance speech of the whole night.
Try to keep now, it that, short.
That's the best way to do it. And speaking of keeping it short, your horse ran a big, big race on Saturday before the Eclipse here at Gulfstream, setting the track record, going 3/4. Tell me, has he always been a sprinter for you?
Has he always been a sprinter?
Yes.
Now, early in his career, he ran a mile and 16th. He ran the Preakness a mile and 3/16. He was second in the West Virginia Derby. I think that was a mile and 1/8. So, I mean, he's run long, you know, a few times, but he seems to be more productive, you know, sprinting.
What made you want to bring him back to going 3/4?
What made us turn him back? We had always planned on sprinting him early in his career, but being, you know, a 3-year-old year, there's so many options around, and those route races aren't that tough, really, you know, for a better quality horse. So, you know, you can get those kind of horses to stretch out a little bit.
And hey, when you find where they can win, you stay there, right, David?
Absolutely.
Now, this is this horse and this whole story. You've had an unbelievable few months. Obviously, winning the Breeders' Cup in November, and then, you know, his comeback, and then on Monday's Eclipse Awards. But it is a family affair for you. So just tell us a little bit about that.
Well, my wife's involved. It's, you know, she gallops Big Drama. She gallops Duke of Mischief, one of my other good horses. And, you know, she's in the barn, you know, all morning with us, you know, checking on horses, checking, you know, making sure, you know, we stay real close, communication, all the feed with the horses. And, you know, she'll ride out on the pony for breeze sets to make sure the horses pull up good on the, you know, the backside. So, you know, she's involved a lot. And my two assistants, you know, she works well with both of them.
Well, I must say, I know from absolute fact that her toughest job is keeping you in line.
Yeah, that's right.
So, David, talk a little bit about the tracks. We're here in Florida, obviously, for the premier racing in the winter. You're based at Calder, and obviously running here at Gulfstream is the cream of the meat for the winter. What about what's going on with the racetracks? And you know, it seems like a do-over again every year with the racetracks fighting for dates. Just maybe, you know, what's your opinion on that?
Unfortunately, this is something that's gone on, you know, for as many years as I've been racing in South Florida, which I've been here, you know, 20-plus years. And unfortunately, you know, they fought back and forth until finally Hialeah caved in. And now it's Calder and Gulfstream. And, you know, if they would just focus on the industry and trying to improve the industry, you know, up the quality of racing, there'd be enough for everybody. But instead, they'd rather, you know, fight over a half-eaten bone, you know, instead of trying to, you know, instead of trying to up the quality of racing, working together, we could have the best racing in the United States here. I mean, everybody loves Florida, you know, even in the summertime. I love racing here in the summer. It's great.
Now, you've got a barn that you've got horses that, you know, are running for 10, 20, 30, 50, and stakes. How does that affect you in the wintertime? What goes on in your barn during the winter?
As far as my quality horses?
Well, you know, where you're going to run your horses, what, you know, are you able to run everything in the barn? Or some horses got to get put on the shelf for a few months, or how do you handle that?
Yeah, not necessarily. I mean, we kind of, if a horse needs to be put on the shelf, it could be any time of year. So we kind of, I try to thin out a little bit in the winter of the lesser quality horses. If I can send those to Tampa to another trainer or sell the lesser horses, I'd prefer to stay, you know, as much as I can without sounding cocky, I'd like to have a little better quality horse.
Well, you got the best quality horse, that Big Drama. Talk a little bit about your experience at Breeders' Cup. I know we had a conversation a little while ago, and, you know, we're talking about the million-dollar question all the time with horse racing. Obviously, Breeders' Cup is the pinnacle day. Everybody's happy. Everybody's into it. There's crowds everywhere. What do you see for the future of racing, and what did you see at Breeders' Cup that you gave you inspiration?
I thought, you know, Churchill Downs did a great job of hosting the Breeders' Cup. You know, some of the stuff is a little pricey, but as far as, you know, the track was in great shape, you know, the barn area is in good shape. I think we need, you know, a championship day like that every year. I mean, I think you see, when you go to something like that, you see there's still a lot of life left in this business, where a lot of people are in question of how much more can we stand the fight between the tracks and you know, the less people that are interested in the farm, you know, and the betting on the horses.
David, you know, one of the things, and we're about to go to one of Big Drama's races. Matter of fact, I think, Amanda, that's the race from last Saturday where he set the track record. You know, one of the great things, and you've done a great job with this horse, letting him carry his racetrack with him. He seems like a great horse to train.
He's pretty easy to train, and I can't think, except for the time that he ran at Saratoga in the swap, and he wasn't, you know, he was a little under the weather then. I don't think he's ever run a real poor race for me. I mean, you look at his form, and he just, it doesn't matter. Went to Pimlico, I thought he ran a good race there. even though, you know, he finished fifth. But every race that he's run very, you know, he doesn't seem to mind the surface.
What's the goal for this year, David, with him?
The end year goal is the Breeders' Cup one more time.
Want to go for it again?
Yeah, we're trying to go for it again. Want to race it through the year. We've got some other plans on the way. Maybe during the summer and early summer, we've got some ideas, you know, up our sleeves where we might go.
Well, listen, David, thank you so much for coming on with us today, and we wish you the best of luck with Big Drama.
Thank you very much.
All right, take care, David.
And now we'll listen to a run down the stretch.
And our end of the stretch. This one's for Phil on the outside. Big Drama at the rail. And the two of them are locked in battle with one furlong to go. Big Drama trying to hold on, and he's doing it. This one's for Phil. Made a run at him, but Big Drama keeps on fighting. Big Drama is back. He wins the swale by a neck. Over this one's for Phil. Custom for Carlos and Brave Victory. And the final time is a new track record. 1:20.88 seconds. Wow.
All right, that is awesome. Well, listen, stay tuned. When we come back, we have another Eclipse attendee. In fact, another Eclipse winner. He was a team winner. We're coming back with Mike Smith after the break.
Hi, this is independent producer-composer Nelson Ortiz. Looking to get away from the same old stuff you hear every day? Get a fresh new sound? Then BBS Radio is where it's at. If it's not mainstream, it's on bbsradio.com.
Words can't truly describe what you see. Words can't truly describe what you hear. Yet some words can inspire you to see and hear images and sounds impossible to describe. Janubia, language of the heart. You've never heard anything like it, but like it you will. JANUBIA.com. Available on iTunes and Amazon.
And now, back to Equisport Radio with your hosts, Amanda Roxborough and Les Salzman.
And we're back. And one of the things that I wanted to talk about with you, Amanda, is a product called Equiforce. Equiforce is targeted horse nutrition. What Amy Gill, who's a nutritionist, a doctor in nutrition, has come up with 5 products that are very, very targeted to individual problems that horses have. And if you go to their site, www.equiforce.com, that's www.equiforce.com, you can read all about some of those products that Amy's put together and some of her concepts of horse nutrition. If you want to reach them by phone in Lexington, it's 859-259-294-9365. And speaking of Lexington, you know, we've going to be going to one of our correspondents in Lexington in just a second. Mike, as we go through this thing, Kevin, so JC had met with Mike Smith a couple of hours ago, and Seth, if we can get Mike on, that'd be great.
Thanks, Amanda and Les. What a great week here in Lexington, Kentucky. I get to spend some time with jockey Mike Smith. He was aboard Zenyatta for so many of her great and thrilling victories. Good afternoon, Mike. Kevin to JC here from Equisport Radio. How are you?
Great, guys. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Mike, you've shown incredible courage, determination, heart, and class throughout this journey. When the announcement was made, I wrote down 3 words that I thought signified some of your emotions. Maybe we can talk about them. Exaltation, justification, and relief.
Yeah, that and about 100 more.
Great. What about the exuberance that came with it?
Well, it was just exciting for her just to, you know, finally get it. You know, I mean, we were up with it, you know, for 2 other years besides this year. And, you know, she got beat out. And just, you know, to finally get it just kind of made everything okay, you know, just after getting beat in the Classic last time out and wondering if she's going to get the Horse of the Year. And God, I don't know what I'd have done to myself if I wouldn't have got it. But we got it, and like I said, just makes everything okay now.
Well, you're closing in on 5,000 wins, Belmont Riding titles, Saratoga titles, part of Team Zenyatta. You won 5 out of 12 grade ones on her this year. Let's talk about a little bit about that team. John and Dottie, Steve, Willard, Marco and Carmen, the blacksmiths, the vets, Frank and Mike.
And what a team, man, what a team. You know, it takes every one of us to make it all work, and for all of us to work as well as we do together is just incredible. You know, I can't tell you what a unbelievable horseman that John Sheriff is. I mean, to keep a mare that big and, you know, that strong, sound for this whole time, and keeping her on her game, what an incredible feat.
Is that one of the reasons you think she captured our imagination?
Well, without him, she certainly would have. He's an amazing horseman. I mean, for him to take the time and the baby steps that he took with her to get her to where she's at. I mean, just, you know, taking the time to run into her first time out. She didn't run to her late 3-year-old year. She's almost 4 till she ran, but she needed that time. And I'm not too sure too many trainers would have given it to her, so I'm glad he had her.
Yeah, hats off to both John and the Mosses as well for having that patience as owners.
Exactly.
Hey, at the top of the stretch, did you think you could get there?
Well, going underneath the wire the first time, I thought there was no chance at all.
Right.
After I got into the first turn, she realized that she was in a race. You know, she made up some ground, you know, really good, and I thought, well, if anyone can do it, it'll be her. But it was just so much to make up, and it's just incredible for her to make up the ground that she made up and only get beat a matter of inches.
I personally think it was her best race. But the ride back for you, it must have been agonizing.
It certainly was. You know.
But then the cheer started, Mike. What did you think then?
Yeah, I was so devastated. I didn't even hear him, to tell you the truth. I mean, I was glad that her fans were behind her, and even in defeat, they were still there for her, and it was incredible. But I was somewhere else at that point.
Do you think Zenyatta knew?
I was hoping she wasn't feeling my pain. I was hoping she's listening to her fans, you know.
Well, here's another Zenyatta night, or Mike Smitha night, from Angelette in Atlanta, Georgia. Given how gentle and sweet she is in the stall and paddock, where do you think her competitiveness comes from, her drive comes from?
Well, she knows every stage of where she's at. She knows when she's in the stall, if she's not being saddled, she's kind as can be. If she's out grazing, she's kind as can be. But if she's getting saddled, she's not so kind. You know, the light turns on all of a sudden. She knows, okay, it's time to get out and do some work. And if you're in a race or the paddock in a race, it's a whole different. Well, you've seen her. She's very aggressive. She'll dance. I mean, she's not playing, man. She's out there ready to do something, putting the show on and ready to do something. So she just really understands every aspect of the whole game, man. She really did. She's just incredible. And when it's time to wind down, she'd wind down. She's as kind as a lamb could be. But when it was time to run, man, she's a warrior, man. She's a fighter.
Hey, you've said many times how blessed you are. What has this experience brought to your life?
Well, I mean, if you imagine, for any rider, to get the opportunity to be involved in something like this, it's just something you never even think of, to be honest with you. I mean, who would have ever thought you're going to go that far, you know, 19-0, and get beat a matter of inches for 20-0 in the biggest race in the world? I mean, it's just, it's indescribable, really. I mean, it's, you know, I thought I had an unbelievable career before this happened, and then just to have gotten to ride her and nothing else would be an incredible career, wouldn't it?
That would be a legacy in and of itself. I agree, Mike. Yeah. So what's next for you? What's on your bucket list?
You know, just to stay healthy, man. Keep riding. I'm enjoying it right now more than ever, to be honest with you. And I feel incredible. And, you know, I got a lot of years left in me. And I'm going to make the most of it and do the best I can and just keep on plugging away. And hopefully in the future some other great star will come along, you know. And hopefully one day I'll get to ride her baby. That's that's my goal.
There you go. Well, great, Mike. Listen, thanks very much for joining us. This is Kevin Sejacy from Equisport Radio. From
thank
snowy
you.
Lexington to sunny Florida, back to Les Salzman at Gulfstream Park. Thanks very much.
And thank you, guys.
Thanks, Kevin. we appreciate the work, and we appreciate Mike Smith's work every day at the racetrack, riding down in California right now. Amanda, he's one of your favorites, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. One thing, you know, people don't understand that are just seeing him as a Zenyatta guy and think he's a great guy, which is great. Because, you know, we need a lot of that in the sport. But Mike has always been like that. I mean, he's always been like that.
He's always been a gentleman, even back in the 80s when he first started, you know, and as he's won his Eclipse Awards and being a member of the Hall of Fame, Mike Smith's always been a gentleman.
Yeah, and a good rider, too, I might add.
For me, any day.
Yeah. All right, well, listen, we're going to take a short break, and then coming back, we're going to talk to our handicapping guru, Mike Welch. So stay tuned for more EquiSport Radio.
Called the Oprah of radio by her listeners, award-winning host Dr. Pat Vasili is blowing the doors off traditional talk radio. Get ready for powerful interviews with leaders in the field of human potential. Dr. Pat's perspective on living life full out has catapulted her show to the top of talk radio. Tune in, and Dr. Pat will help you thrive instead of merely survive. Listen to The Dr. Pat Show, Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Pacific on bbsradio.com and visit thedrpatshow.com.
Hi, it's Sam Green from Sam Green the Time Machine, wishing you all the best and the best of everything that one can offer. Enjoy the music. Be a part of it. Wishing you the best in space and other places. Enjoy the music. I do.
BBSRadio.com. If it's not mainstream, it's on BBS. Right here with your boy, Spider Turner. Just chilling, baby. Kicking back. Listening to the BBS. Yeah.
And now, back to EquiSport Radio with your hosts, Amanda Roxborough and Les Salzman.
All right, we're back with EquiSport Radio. And Les, on the phone, we have not only a fantastic writer and columnist for the Daily Racing Form, we have Mike Welch. Mike, welcome.
How are you, folks?
Hey, Mike, how's it going?
Good, good. Tough act to follow Mike Smith and part of the Zenyatta team. That's not much you can do after following that group.
Well, I'll tell you what, Mike. The one thing that I wasn't going to touch on, but since you brought it up, I know that you voted the other way. And I won't hold that against you because I think you're a fantastic person. But why did you decide to do that?
Why did I vote for Blaine?
Yeah.
Simply because, you know, the award is Horse of the Year, not, you know, and to me it's based on the two horses' accomplishments in 2010. You know, it has nothing to do with the fact that Zenyatta had won 15 races in a row before last year. And I just thought, you know, at worst they had, you know, a similarly great year going into the Breeders' Cup, and he won the Breeders' Cup, you know, and it doesn't matter that she might have. People think that she might have beat him if she got a better trip. She didn't beat him. And he also gave her 3 pounds as well. I mean, they put the wire there. He got there first. And, you know, I think that I thought the Zenyatta people kind of put all their eggs in one basket by campaigning her, you know, against what I thought was inferior company compared to what Blaine had faced all year long. And you know, they really needed to win. I thought they needed to win the Classic to get the award, and Blaine beat her. You know, and if another horse had beat her that hadn't had the kind of year Blaine had, I would have voted for her. But I thought Blaine, all in all, really, really deserved it. You know, I just think he had as good a year as she did going into the race, and he beat her. So, you know.
Well, we can agree. We can all agree to disagree, and we can all respect the fact that everybody has an opinion, and that's what makes racing
exactly.
Great.
Exactly.
So.
That's what it's all about. You know, that's what it's all about. And it made for great you know, it made for a lot of great debates over the years. Like Al, I mean, over the year,
And as Al Stahl said to me afterwards, he said, just think how dull this award would have been if Zenyatta had not been here this year. We'd have won easily. So
That's right.
It was great that they brought her back. And, you know, she had a great year. I'm not taking anything away from Zenyatta. She had a great year. She's a fantastic mare. I think she's one of the best of all time. But I just think in the spirit of the award itself, he had a better year because, you know, he beat her when it came down to it.
All right. Moving on, Mike. Now, we are here live at Gulfstream, and you really are. This is your turf. This is where you shine. This is your home base. You're at Calder all year. Of course, you do all the traveling to the major races. We want to get your opinion here on what's going on the racetrack here at at Gulfstream. How do you see the track playing this season?
Well, you know, it varies from day to day. I mean, it used to be Gulfstream was considered just a pure speed racetrack, and since they rebuilt the place, that hasn't been the case at all. I think there's been more days here where speed has been at a disadvantage than at an advantage. I think today was one of them. And not only so much speed, but it looks like the rail has been a little deeper for the most part this meet. I think it certainly was today. If you look at the results, you know, every winner was out off the rail, beat a horse that was on the rail through the stretch on the main track today. So I think, if anything, it's been leaning in that direction all meet, and whether it's going to continue, a trend that's going to continue or not, you really don't know. You really got to take it on a day-by-day basis. But at least going into tomorrow, I would say that would probably be the case, although the track's going to dry out overnight, and it's going to get cold, and there could be a change in the wind direction, and that could affect things too. So you really have to watch the races closely and judge it on a day-by-day basis.
Yeah, it looks like a three-path type of racetrack right now. You know, Mike, and have you noticed any of the young horses that we've seen here at Gulfstream that may go forward into the classics?
Well, the horse that I think has been training the best every morning that I've seen, I've been out there almost every morning, and I've seen this horse train almost every morning, is Mucho Macho Man, Kathy Ritvo's horse. This is a big, good-looking colt. He ran very credibly at two. He was second to Honor and Serve in the Nashua. He was second again to Honor and Serve in the Remsen, but got a little closer the second time. He looks like a horse of the two. I think will have the least trouble stretching out a distance of ground. And he really just couldn't be training any better than he's trained here over the last 3 or 4 weeks. He was due to work today. He didn't. He'll probably work tomorrow, have his last work tomorrow before the Holy Bull. You know, a one-turn mile like the Holy Bull is probably not his optimum game, although he does have enough speed where I think he'll be forwardly placed and can certainly win it. But, you know, he doesn't have to win it to move on to the next step. So of the ones I've seen here so far, I'd like him the best. Boys at Tuscanova is trained okay here. You know, I haven't seen him do too much wrong. His last work was good. He's probably more of a miler than Mucho Macho Man. So I think he's going to run a big race in the Holy Bull. And Gourmet Dinner worked well the other day, too. I don't think of those three, he's the only one that we know for sure has earned his way into the Derby already because of the money he won in the Delta Jackpot. But he's not the best that I thought when he started out at Calder. He was beating what I thought was pretty inferior competition at Calder earlier in the year. But he seems to be getting better and better, and I like the way he's been training over this track, and I have a feeling that he will be a strong force in the Holy Bull as well.
Now, just north of us here at Gulfstream is the Palm Meadows Training Center. I was out there last week, and, of course, we had some very special horses out there, Uncle Mo and a couple of the nice Oaks fillies. Have you been out over there, Mike?
I've only been to Palmetto once. I have not seen Uncle Mo train. I will probably go next week when he has his first work, or the following week. His first work will probably be just an easy half or three-eighths. But, you know, Todd reports that he's doing everything that he's, you know, he wanted him to do at this point. He's right on schedule. He's going to start breezing next week, like I said. And, you know, he's going to have his first start somewhere in the middle of March. It looks like they're targeting the Tampa Bay Derby right now. You know, there's possibly other options out there, but that seems to be their first choice. Todd likes the Tampa track, and he wants a two-turn mile on the 16th if he can get it, which he can't get at Gulfstream. You know, it's all seen his choices. They're either 7/8 or a mile, one turn. The mile and an eighth fountain of youth, which he's not going to do.
Now, I know you're heading home from Gulfstream right now and a quick turnaround for tomorrow. Who do you like in tomorrow's card? Anything special?
You know, tomorrow's card looks a little chalky to me. One else I do like, who will probably be the favorite, he might be the second choice, is in the Turf Stakes tomorrow. I think it's a two-horse race between I can't remember the horse's name. Wesley Ward's horse, Great Attack, and Stradivinsky. And I just think I like the way Great Attack is training over this track a little bit better than Stradivinsky. They both trained very well over the turf. 2 weeks ago, Great Attack came back with another big work over the turf last week. Stradivinsky came back and worked on the dirt last week, and he was very disappointing. He tired very badly in his work. I don't know if you just say that was because it was on the dirt and not the turf, or, you know, he just, maybe that previous turf work, which was excellent, took a little too much out of him. So, to me, on paper, it's a two-horse race, and I would go to Great Attack. And for a price horse tomorrow, I take a look at Caixa Electronica in the, I think it's the ninth race. It's a race where there's a lot of horses, big-name horses, coming back from long layoffs. A Mission Impassable will probably be the favorite and is the horse to beat. But I think Caixa Electronica may have a little advantage of racing recency. And he's been overmatched in his last two. I like him in this spot. He's run well over this track before.
And I guess with it getting so cold here tonight, it's supposed to go down to about 40. This thing's going to tighten up a little bit, don't you think?
Yeah, I think that track will dry out. It will be fast tomorrow. We're going to get swamped with works in the morning because nobody's worked for, or virtually nobody's worked for 2 or 3 days now, and if that track's fast, like I think it will be, we'll probably have 150 horses working tomorrow, and I think it'll be fine by post time. You know, again, if the wind direction changes and the track dries out a lot, it could really affect how it plays tomorrow. So, you know, like I said earlier, you really got to watch those early races carefully and, you know, see if that trend today where you don't want to be down on the rail continues tomorrow.
Well, Mike, thanks a lot. And, you know, people don't know, you wanted to grow up to be the shortstop for the Yankees. I wanted to be the third baseman. We probably would have been the best left side the Yankees ever had.
Actually, to be honest with you, I wanted to be the shortstop, but third base was always my position when I was growing up. So I didn't have quite a good enough arm for shortstop.
That's why I was the third. Mike, again, thanks for joining us. And
thanks, Mike.
We look forward to having you on again.
Okay. Take care, guys.
All right, take care, Mike. Thanks again.
Bye-bye.
All right, thanks. That was awesome. Get some great inside tips here at Gulfstream.
I'll tell you what, I'm going tomorrow afternoon. I'm just betting Mike.
That's right. All right, listen, we're going to take one more break. And after the break, we have a couple of surprises. So we'll be right back with Equisport Radio.
We welcome you to call our toll-free number, 1-888-815-9756.
Hello, this is Lee Taylor Young, and I'm visiting with you on PBS Radio.
Hello, this is Marco May. I'm really happy you're enjoying the rich variety of music on bbsradio.com. Please give me a visit at www.marcome.com. Hope to see you.
This is Mark Marshall, and I'm proud to say that my music is being played here on the 24-hour music channel at bbsradio.com, where there's anything but the mainstream, and they truly do love independent music. You can find out more about me at markmarshall.com, and stay tuned to BBS Radio.
Hi, this is singer-songwriter Robin Avery. It's a privilege to be on BBS Radio. You've been listening to music from my new release, The Way You Hold Me. Come visit me and check out the CD at robinavery.com.
And now, back to Equisport Radio with your hosts, Amanda Roxborough and Les Salzman.
All right. It's good to be back. One of the things I really want everyone out there to know, Les, is that how much we really care about having people get involved. You know, we want to do this show, but we really, really want to hear from what's going on, what your opinions are. We want not only the horsemen and obviously the players and the stars and the handicappers, but just the people that are interested maybe. If you have a question, like I said earlier, we have a lot of experience and we have a lot of connections, and we really want to promote the sport. We really do love it. We know there's issues we all have to sort out, but we're committed to really putting our efforts in. So if you want, please call or email us. Go to our website, equisportradio.com, and, you know, let's get in touch and see what we can do. We need to keep this sport.
Well, we need to keep the sport moving forward, Amanda, and I agree with you. And one of the things that's a big issue in our sport today is what happens to these horses once they're finished racing. And, you know, we had Dave Fox on a few minutes ago, and he and his wife are involved with a very, very proactive organization here in Florida. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
That's right, Les. This is something that's really dear to my heart. Florida Track is an organization, Florida Thoroughbred Retirement and Adoptive Care Program. And they really are an amazing organization. Started last year. Celia, as we mentioned, Dave Fox's wife, is one of the pioneers in this. And what happened was there's a need for these horses that are finished their racing career. And where do they go? You know, it's the accountability and awareness that the industry, the horsemen, and the players need to really step up. It's become a terrible issue. There is a lot of great things being done, but there really does need to be more. This program, Florida Track, is run by a bunch of volunteers. And the one thing, it has great support from the Florida Horsemen's Benevolent Protective Association. What they've done here in Florida, which is a fantastic model, is the owners, all the money that the owners earn for, per day, 0.3% of the total purses go to this program, as well as every jockey donates $1 amount.
Yeah, no, it's the best pension program that I know of, at least a far cry better than what we had here in Florida a couple of years ago. And it's assuring that some of these game warriors get a decent afterlife.
That's right. So this is something that you're going to hear a lot from us on Equisport Radio because, you know, it's very important to both Les and I. So we just wanted to introduce it to you if you haven't heard of it already. Like I said, there's a lot of them out there, and we definitely are big supporters here at Equisport Radio.
And they can contact us on our website for contact information for this organization. And if you happen to belong to another rescue organization and you'd like us to feature you, just let us know and we'll get back in touch. It's a key part of what we're doing.
All right. We're ready for our next guest, Les.
Yep. A good friend to both of us for many, many years, Phil Gleaves. Phil, how are you?
I'm doing great, guys. I'm just listening to you talk about the Florida Track program, and I also think it's an excellent program. I'm a big supporter of it, and we have donated at least a half a dozen horses to it in the last few months, and I'm confident that those horses will and have found good homes and gone into different disciplines like showing, hunting, and things of that nature. And it's just great to see those horses go on. And the one good thing about the Florida Track program is, where some other programs might lack, is that there's a great follow-up. You can, Celia Fox, follows up a lot on these horses and makes sure that they're being taken care of, not just now, but for later on.
And that's the key, you know, with these retirement programs, is the follow-up. Hopefully this helps a lot of people in the industry, a lot of horses in the industry. And Phil, you've been involved a lot in these kind of things over the years, haven't you?
Yes, I have, and hopefully continue to do so. And I'm very big on the welfare of the horse. And it's not just, you know, it's not just the injured horses. It's the horses that are also too slow to compete in various racing jurisdictions. It's just something that bothers me when there's a horse that, unfortunately, through no fault of his own, is not fast enough to compete and has to go to the bottom level claiming ranks. And I really worry about the care that those horses are given when they get there.
That's right. It's accountability and awareness that everybody needs to step up to the plate. I just want to say hello, darling, because that's how we normally greet each other.
We do. Hello, now, darling, indeed. Yes.
Yes. Now, talk about good horses. For people that don't know, I'm sure most of us do, but for you have been around some of the best. Woody Stevens was your mentor. Now, what was that like for you, Phil?
It was just incredible, Amanda. I was just, I have been so blessed, and I just landed in Woody's lap, so to speak, during the best years of his career, when he had horses like Smartin and Terpsichorus and White Star Line and Devil's Bag and Smart Angle and Swale. It was just champion after champion every year, and I was just very fortunate to be with him during that time period. And it was just, it's just great to be around those horses. And, of course, you don't realize it or it doesn't really hit home until you then start training on your own and the horses are not quite as good as they were.
Yeah, Phil,
that's an understatement.
That's so true. I think we can all live by that one. Phil, you know, just a couple of days ago, I was watching a replay of the HRTV piece that you were a part of that won the Eclipse Award-winning award for Swell. And when you were on there, you showed a lot of emotion. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
It was a very emotional time, Les. You know, you just don't expect things like that to happen. A horse winning the Derby and winning the Belmont, and then literally 8 days later, he's dead. And it was a very emotional time. I was a lot younger then. I was 27 years old. Although I wasn't his regular exercise rider, as a gentleman named Ronnie McKenzie was, I'd galloped him a lot and I'd breezed him a lot and I knew about him a lot. And it was just a very sad thing to watch unfold before our very eyes on a Sunday morning a week after the Belmont.
Yeah, those are the tough times of our sport, isn't it, Phil?
Yeah, and to this day, and I mentioned on that, on that documentary, I don't think that a concrete answer, they haven't come up with a concrete answer as to what caused his death. But it was a very, very sad time. It was tragic, tragic for a lot of reasons, tragic for the Claiborne, for the Hancock family of Claiborne Farm. And it was a horrible time for Woody to watch him have to go through that because he was coming off going, also having a lot of stress after the Devil's Bag situation with him turning three and then getting beaten the Flamingo. So there's a lot of stuff that even wasn't included in that documentary. That could have been 2 hours long, that documentary, and still not covered everything that was going on around that scenario.
Well, we would like to get you back on when we have a little bit more time, Phil, to discuss that. And also your barn, which is an emerging barn here at Gulfstream. Again, we thank you for coming on the show on our inaugural visit, and we'll look forward to talking with you real soon.
I would love to be part of it. Anytime you want me, I'm only a phone call away.
All right, ta-ra, darling.
Okay, thanks, guys, and I appreciate it, and good luck with everything. And if I can be of any assistance to the viewers, and if they have questions for me, please tell them to feel free to contact me or see me at the races, and I'll be happy to talk to them.
All right, Phil.
And if you want to reach Phil, you can just call us or get onto our website.
Exactly right. Just write through your website or whatever, or Amanda has my cell phone. But I'm very accessible and to people, and I love to try to educate new fans. And so if they have any questions, I'll be happy to sit down and talk with them.
You're a gentleman and a scholar. Thank you so much, Phil. And we're going to take another break, and we'll be right back with Equisport Radio.
Hi, Peggy Lee Quayler here. Hey, thanks for listening to Stories Untold on BBS. And you can visit my website at cdbaby.com/CD/PeggyLee with an A. You can purchase a copy there or write a review. And stay tuned for my next album project, That's Just Hollywood, coming out in June. I'll be sure Doug has a copy for BBS Radio. If it's not mainstream, it's on bbsradio.com, the number one internet radio network on the planet.
Oh.
I'm Jackie Zeman, and you may know me as Bobby Spencer from General Hospital, and you're listening to BBSRadio.com.
Come along for the ride to Gulfstream Park, your ultimate entertainment destination. See the action unfold before your eyes as you meet tomorrow's Triple Crown contenders right here. Live thoroughbred racing is back at Gulfstream Park. Champion horses and Hall of Fame trainers and jockeys return to celebrate the 60th anniversary of the $1 million Florida Derby. Every Wednesday through Sunday, see the best horses in the world. Prepare for the January 29th Sunshine Millions and the January 30th Holy Bull. Daily post time is 12:55. It's all here only at Gulfstream Park.
Hi, this is Jeff Van Vonderen from A&E's show Intervention, and you're listening to BBSRadio.com.
And now, back to Equisport Radio with your hosts, Amanda Roxborough and Les Salzman.
And we're back when, as we're ready to close out this last segment of the show, I've got a good friend of mine, Brad Bolin, on the line. Brad, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Les. How are you doing, bud?
Good. Brad's one of the leading quarter horse trainers in the country, and he's stabled here at Hialeah. They're going through their closing weekend this weekend after a good meet. Brad, you ran in the big race today, didn't you?
Yeah, we had the finals of the South Florida Derby today and the finals of the South Florida Invitational.
How'd you run?
Run second in both of them.
Bridesmaid, huh?
Yeah, I was a bridesmaid today.
Now, Brad, the meet's winding up, and how was it for you? Did you have a good time here in Florida?
Yes, sir. We had a really good time in Florida. It's Hialeah meet. I mean, they really treat the horsemen well, and we're really excited with the help of the Florida Quarter Horse Racing Association and all the guys at Hialeah's got quarter horses back in Florida. This will be our second year down here, and the racing's been good, and everybody's enjoying the weather, and glad we're not at home freezing to death.
Now, you're from Texas, but where do you go next?
We're heading to Oklahoma City in a week. Come to Remington in Oklahoma City.
Okay, so you got the long johns ready?
Yes, sir. I got my long johns and my big coat ready.
Okay. Well, we'll see you before you go, and appreciate you coming on the show for a few minutes, and we'll have you back on again when we have a little more time.
Okay. Well, thank y'all.
Thank you. Amanda, that's something we have to get you up to, a little quarter horse racing. Get down there and get you down.
Start
looking at driving again.
In Canada, where I rode races at Woodbine, they had a place called Ajax, and there was it was almost a bush track, which now has become a pretty big race.
Brad's sending a string up there this spring, as a matter of fact. He is.
Well, I'm not taking my tack out,
okay,
I'll tell you that.
You're not taking the tack out?
No,
okay.
I'm done.
It's retired. Okay. I tried. Well, folks, we enjoyed this segment and the show, and we appreciate you being on with us, Amanda.
Yeah, this is really exciting. Like I said earlier, I really, and Les and myself, are very, very dedicated to the sport of, promoting the sport we love. I work in media outlets, as his Les, as well as the backside, and to get the stories out and to get the people visible and have them be able to touch the hearts of, you know, people that maybe don't understand what goes on in racing. And I think if we could open that up, it's going to really make a big difference.
And we want you to be a part of it. Thanks for joining us on
Equisport Radio. See you next week.